Merry Christmas.
And welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we are starting our holiday sequels.
Hooray.
Hooray for holidays. Well, it's not really a holiday song, but whatever.
It could be. As long as you had jingle bells over it.
Jingle bells, hooray for holidays. Holly, 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 holly. Okay, shut up. I won't annoy you with that. Episode, I think, 34 we're on. Is it 34?
This is 34, 35.
Sure, we'll go with it. 34, 35, whatever. We lost track.
30-something.
I think, yeah, 30-something. Timothy Busfield. Okay, anyway. how come I don't know anyone else in 30-something except Timothy Busfield?
I don't know.
Exactly.
He was such a breakout star.
Oh, yeah, he so was with his, you know, whatever. Anyway, we are doing the Santa Claus 2. I don't think there's a colon to this, is there?
Mostly it's just shown as the Santa Claus 2, but I remember, so there's a couple things. Originally, based off of like early stuff that had come out, it was called the Escape Clause.
Oh, okay.
But they changed the plot of it.
Yeah.
And because of that, they took the title away, but it ended up being called the Escape Clause, the third one did.
Right.
Some of the early promotional materials have the name on there, and it doesn't show up to the third. But
ooh, if those are collector items, go find those on eBay.
But I had always heard it as Santa Claus 2, the Mrs. Claus.
Okay.
But if you look on everything, it never really shows it like that. Okay. So I don't know if that's technically what it is. Right.
I mean, you know, for what it's worth, it is that. Starring Tim Allen, of course, in his heyday, I would say. Like, this is really...
Yeah, it was.
His big... Kind of.
Well, and he had a lot of contractual things. We were talking about this. A lot of contractual agreements with Disney.
At that point.
I mean, like, he was doing stuff for Disney Pixar. Yeah. He was doing, you know, he did the voice of Buzz Lightyear. He did this movie or these Santa Claus movies.
Jungle to Jungle?
Jungle to Jungle.
Is there a sequel to that? Should we do that? I don't know. I don't think
Jungle
there is.
For
I'm
Jungle?
I'm thinking of George of the Jungle 2. I'm sorry.
Jungle for Jungle? Is that the Jungle to Jungle 2?
That's the sequel to that? That's great. No, but of course, this is the Santa Claus 2. To me, Tim Allen's hit or miss a lot of times.
Yeah.
I either like him or I'm just like, ugh, here he is again, Tim Allen.
Yeah.
But I think we should drop this one. I think so. But before we do,
yes.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back. Yeah.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Where's the beef?
Hey, how you doing?
Hold on to your butt.
Feels like an Arby's snack.
Son of a... That's gonna leave a mark.
Chili, baby back rib.
Well, what if there is no tomorrow? There wasn't one today.
This is Tom and Jim's Top 5. Naming their top 5 lists on everything pop culture. Celebrating the 90s. Sports, movies, music, and more. They're not authorities. Just grown children.
All right, check those guys out. Wait, it's time to...
Sorry.
That's fine. All right, Jeremy, what do you say? Let's drop the deuce.
Yep, I'm on board.
On
so.
Santa Claus 2, and I want you to do it right now. Right now.
A plane flies over the windswept Arctic. Is that a good start?
That's perfect.
I realize, like, when I write these, I'm always like, we open on blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm describing some scenic. But we open on a plane flying over a windswept Arctic. The people flying the plane, it's some sort of, like, a Coast Guard research vessel.
I don't know what it is.
So, Yeah, there's sorts of technical issues with this. They're talking about using sonar through the as they're flying
the
over.
Plane? And I'm like, yeah. Okay.
They say they hear something far below the ice, like under the ice cap. And they're like, well, what do you hear exactly? And the guy goes, it sounds like tiny hammers. Very specific, mm-hmm. like sound like tiny hammers. Mm-hmm. But
when he means tiny hammers, he means like miniature MC hammers.
MC hammers, yep. Yeah.
You knew I was going to go there. You've known me long enough to know that I would do an MC Hammer joke.
Yeah, you couldn't resist.
Yeah, it's true.
So now the entirety of the Christmas Village apparently exists in a pocket below the ice.
Sure.
And this big, like, there's this big ice dome that they exist in.
The ice dome.
The ice dome. Welcome to the ice
Welcome
dome.
Welcome to the ice dome.
So now the elves are busy at work just hammering everything. They don't use any other tools, apparently.
Phrasing.
There's like, well, no, it's like toy train comes by. They take these hammers and just start, like, hitting them.
There's no rhyme or reason to
their madness. They're very bad at construction. Which is maybe why he needs a bunch of elves.
They're really not good at doing a lot of things.
Yeah. So, now the airplane starts circling back, and the whole elf staff freaks out. They actually end up going to ElfCon 3, per the direction of Bernard.
I went to that festival, ElfCon
3.
Yeah.
Well, they
great
do it.
Music festival. What? Starring Mannheim Steamroller.
Oh, come on. ElfCon 3 is not a music festival.
What is it?
It's like
a
horror
movie?
No, that's totally a, it's like a,
Oh, a con?
Yeah.
Like a, okay.
Yeah, it's a,
like Shaka Con?
Yeah, like Shaka Con, correct. Okay. It's Scott Con.
Yeah, like it's a Comic Con. Yeah,
Scott Con. Kind of. You know what? I would think it'd be a cosplayer convention.
Sure.
Where everybody's dressed up as elves and it's like a big LARP thing.
I think that they just call that Comic-Con and people are dressed as Lord of the Rings characters.
But they just call it ElfCon. I mean, yeah, this one's very specific. Yeah. It's like elf-related things. No sci-fi, just elves.
Just elves?
So, yeah.
Just a lot of people like Buddy the Elf.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they'd all get mad because those people aren't taking it seriously.
Right.
So Bernard, who is the head elf, he's played by David Krumholtz.
Yes, from the CBS show Numbers.
Yes, and he's in 10 Things I Hate About You.
10 Things I Hate About You and Other Things. You know him.
Yeah, you would recognize him.
You see him. You would recognize him.
So they set off some alarms when they go to ElfCon 3, and the elves stop working and just prepare for, you know, the next instructions. As the plane approaches, It's not diverting course, and so Bernard puts them into ElfCon 2. So at that point, Santa Claus, aka Scott Calvin, who's played by Tim Allen, comes up and uses his North Pole periscope. You see the North Pole actually come up, and it looks around, and they said, "Hey, look, it's not diverting course. Put us in ElfCon 1." And go to silent running. And now you see, like, a lot of the elves.
I'm more of a cool runnings.
A lot of the elves are wearing, like, the black and white striped shirts and stuff. And they look like Russian sailors almost.
Right.
And so everybody is now, in submarine mode.
In case someone who's not seen these movies, the elves are played by kids.
They are played by kids.
But obviously they're elves. So
yes.
They're 900, whatever, some odd.
Yeah, hundreds and hundreds of years old, but they're kids.
But they look like they're 7.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so all these kids are
child labor laws.
Yeah. All these kids are like, now you see them sweating and like trying to breathe quietly and almost like they're in a submarine movie. And so everyone in the village is just frozen.
Crimson and white tied.
Yes.
Yeah. Candygane. Go ahead.
I gotcha.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. I'm here. I'm here all podcasts.
Hunt for Red December. the plane, it just loses the signal because everybody's gone quiet. But all of a sudden, something comes up on the sonar, and the technician is kind of stumped. And you can see the sound on like the little display, and they're like, "Well, what are you hearing?" And he turns it on for everyone to hear. And you hear Santa Claus is coming to town?
Sure, yeah.
So the team on the plane is confused. The elves and Santa rush to find where the sound is coming from. Turns out it's Curtis, who is one of the other elves, like one of the other.
I wonder
like,
why they chose that song.
Elder
I mean,
elves.
He's not coming to town. He's already in town.
Yeah. It's catchier than Santa Claus is here. Santa Claus is here.
The ever popular carol Santa Claus is here.
Yeah.
Santa Claus is here.
It just makes Santa Claus is cheer. Here. It's just the creepy carol about how like Santa's already Santa's from inside the house.
He's inside the house. He's trying to kill me.
Santa is here. So they figure out where the sound is. Curtis, who's played by Spencer Breslin.
Spencer Breslin. And all is Spencer Breslin-esque.
Yeah. In all sorts of Spencer Breslin glory. He's playing with one of this, like, dancing Santa doll that's playing the music. But it's weird because none of the other elves are shutting him up. They're all frozen in place like everybody else is.
Yeah.
But nobody's like, hey, turn that off. They're just like, oh, shit, he's blowing our cover. Well, I better just play statue and just, like, freeze. And so they go and they shut him up. And the plane flies off. They agree. You hear them talking about, let's not tell anybody about this.
Right.
Well,
this is the number two elf, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Number two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he of course, he's number two. He's played by Spencer Breslin. So Bernard tells Curtis, you're 900 years old. Grow up. And kind of like just, they have this dynamic where it's like back and forth. Curtis thinks he's a genius and always is on to Bernard about, like, how come you don't recognize my genius?
And if you're going to get a kid that looks like he's 900 years old,
Spencer Breslin.
Yep.
I've seen worse.
And he does have these elf ears.
Yeah.
And I don't think those are fake. I think those are real.
Those are Breslin ears.
The Breslin ears, they do have them. I've seen Little Miss Sunshine, and she has those ears.
Abigail has those, too. Yeah. Makes sense.
That's where she did. That's how she knew the aliens were coming in signs.
She's part alien. But again, though, Spencer Breslin, somebody else who's tied to the Disney line of stuff.
Yeah.
Disney's The Kid with
Bruce Willis.
I mean, he was in a bunch of stuff. So, now Curtis says he didn't break the rules according to the handbook. You know, they're encouraged to listen to music. Of course, I don't think they meant like, you know, when they're on the verge of being found out. But, you know, he's apparently, we're establishing again, he's a stickler for the rules.
Yeah.
Just then, a reindeer flies by, almost taking them out.
Oh, God. Chet?
Turns out it's Chet the reindeer.
Chet the ADD reindeer?
Yeah. Yeah, he's the equivalent of that gremlin in Gremlins 2 who's like,
yes.
Daffy.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
He's the equivalent of Daffy. Now, the gal who does the voice of
Chet
though is a very
famous.
She does a ton of voice work. You know, she's if you've watched any cartoon probably in the last 20 years, you've probably have heard her voice.
Oh, yeah? So, why don't you tell me real quick? What are they? Huh? Just off the top of your head, you know?
I swear
without
that she
looking
was
at IMDb that's taking you so low to download.
No. I just want to get back to some of them.
Okay.
But she was Phil and Lil from the Rugrats. Oh,
the Rugrats, yeah.
And I swear that she was, Dexter and Dee Dee from Dexter's Laboratory.
Oh.
But no,
Dexter,
she's done tons
of stuff.
Cartoon
version of Dexter.
What's that?
Dexter in the cartoon version of Dexter.
Yes.
More serial killers need cartoons made out of
it. When you think about it, though.
Yeah, right.
You're Dexter, and he has a sister who's always running around doing whatever.
There you go. Comedy waiting to happen.
But no, she's been on tons and tons of animated things. So, but yeah, so. You know, Chet crashes. Apparently he's a reindeer in training. And Bernard is asking Curtis when he's going to tell Santa. And of course Curtis is like, shh, not now. And just kind of runs off.
The famous reindeer of them all, Chet.
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 You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer
and Chet.
The most famous reindeer of all.
Chet the reindeer.
Bro, you know Chet.
Bro, it's Chet.
And Dakota and...
They're right.
The Brittany hipster reindeer. What?
The hipster reindeer, Chet. Go ahead.
So now we see Charlie Calvin, much older. Played by Eric Lloyd. He's in high school now. Who is Scott's son. He's breaking into his school through the skylight and talking with this girl.
Yes.
Now, oddly enough, he's not like, I'm climbing in and like using a ladder. He's like rappelling.
Right.
In down the side of the wall.
Yeah, he's rappelling all right.
So he goes into this gym and you see him spray painting. Now, I thought it was an anti-Christmas message at first because you see a Christmas tree with like red, like, you know, the no symbol over it. Turns out he is spraying something. It says Newman equals no Christmas.
Oh, okay.
And while he's doing that, or he's finishing it up, you hear this clang sound of a ladder going up right next to him.
Oh.
And this slow sound of, like, footsteps coming up the ladder. And Principal Carol Newman is standing right there.
Oh, it's Carol Newman. I thought it was, like, he was upset by the Seinfeld character Newman for ruining Christmas.
Newman. Yes.
I knew you hated Christmas, Newman.
Coincidentally, that was. It's just happenstance that they both have the same name.
Okay.
So, Principal Carol Newman, who's played by Elizabeth Mitchell.
People might know her from Lost.
Yes.
Some people who are really geeky will know her from the revived version of V.
Yes.
She was in that as well.
Yes, she does. She did a lot of sci-fi and things around that.
A lot of sci-fi.
She was in Revolution.
Revolution, she was in that too.
For tons of episodes.
Yeah. But so. Most people know her as Juliet in Lost, I would say. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Revolution shouldn't be the thing you mostly know her.
No. No, Rabbi J.J. No, that wasn't J.J. Abrams. That was Eric Kripke.
Yeah, that was Kripke.
Yeah.
Anyway, so now we see Santa walking around at the North Pole. He's inspecting the toy production. Of course, everybody's happy and doing fine. He's given little suggestions to them, and everybody loves it.
You're the best Santa ever. Much better than the one before you.
That you murdered.
Yeah, that you murdered.
And stole his skin. but that's... I want to know about that Santa.
Me too.
Like, I want to know who he was.
I want to know the backstory of that Santa.
Yes.
Why he should have been murdered.
So the elves, he asked one of the elves how the static free tinsel that he was working on is going. And he says, hey guys, should we show him? And they just dump tinsel all over Santa. And he goes, you know what?
And it didn't work because when he took it off, all his beard hair and all his hair went up.
Did it?
No, it didn't.
He said he was, we're gonna take this outside. And challenges them to a game of tinsel football.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which basically is a bunch of...
Oh, no, it's not.
What?
Flag football?
No,
that's what my dad called it. Oh, you're joining tinsel football, huh?
What?
I'm sorry. We dove into something we didn't want to get into. Go ahead.
Something dark. it's just him playing football, essentially against children... against a bunch of children. So.
Okay, yeah.
Now
they're not children, they're elves, Jeremy.
Right, I know, but...
It's hard not to think they're not children.
We know, but they act like children, too. That's the other part.
They're children. I mean, I'll see what.
So Bernard commands Curtis to deliver the bad news to Santa. And he's like, Curtis says, well, why don't you? And he's like, oh, I'm the boss. So that's one of the perks, is that I don't have to be the one to do it. So Santa plays football. It's like 1 against 12. And he loses. They get the ball around him. He's like, oh, I never see that one coming. Like, obviously, he's just, you know, placating them. And of course, they all like dogpile on top of him after that. Everyone's having a good time until Bernard and Curtis interrupt him, saying, "Look, we really need to talk." So inside, Santa notices his pants have gotten a little bit looser. Is Abby, who is like his personal assistant, played by Danielle Woodman, brings him a special cocoa.
Yes.
Dasher picked up. It's made with cocoa beans that Dasher picked up in specifically in Brazil. And
Dasher likes to travel.
There you go. So Santa goes, "Hey, what is going on? You only pull the special bean card or the designer bean card when something bad is going on."
And when you mean designer bean, you mean LL Bean?
Yes.
Okay.
LL Cocoa Bean. So Abby has bad news to deliver. And oddly enough, it's not the same bad news as Bernard and Curtis. She hands Santa the naughty and nice list and says, "It's Charlie."
And he says, "Charlie Sheen?"
Yeah, he goes, "Sheen? I thought he turned that around."
Okay, now this movie came out in 2002.
Yeah. If you thought Charlie was doing bad before.
Bad before, he's really on the bad list.
Not that he was great in the beginning anyway.
No.
Especially now you hear all sorts of crazy crap,
right.
But like.
Right.
Youch, 2002. That was not a joke that held up so well.
No.
But, you know, she says, no, it's your Charlie. And she, of course, Santa's like, "I don't understand. How could this have happened? There's got to be some mistake." And, of course, Abby leaves all dejected and sad. And she's like, "I'm sorry, Santa." "Well, you should be. Go out on the tundra. You've ruined everything." Now, Curtis informs him there's more bad news. And they break out the magnifying glasses.
Yeah.
To see what exactly
this card
says.
That device was pretty cool. I liked that.
It's a joke that comes up every movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they bring it up, and there's more bad news. Turns out there's another clause. The Mrs. Clause.
The Mrs. Clause.
which basically means he has to get married or he goes through desanctification. In which he'll turn back to normal.
You know what? The Easter Bunny doesn't have to put up with shit.
You don't know. There might be other side stories.
What? With the Easter Bunny? Let's spin that off.
I bet each of them has their own fun deal.
Oh, by the way, this is the same director that directed The Tooth Fairy.
Yeah.
So there you go. And The Tooth Fairy comes in later on.
And I even said that, too. Like, yeah. I feel like The Tooth Fairy, you could have easily made it like a spinoff or at least connected these movies.
Yeah, right?
Like, why didn't
Marvel you? This shit up?
You could have. And just been like, oh, it's a spinoff series.
Not now. Half of these people are dead.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Let's see here. So he has to find, basically, to stop this process, which will end up literally destroying Christmas because there will be no new Santa. There will be, the elves won't be able to do anything. Uh-huh. They can't deliver presents. Basically, Christmas is dead. He has, to stop this, he has 28 days at this point to find a wife by Christmas Eve. So it's time to get cracking. So Curtis says, you know, not to give up hope. You know, you can do this. Right as his beard actually starts reverting. It, like, starts getting shorter.
Right. He got shorter, and I said, wow, he looks like Kenny Rogers now.
He does. I thought that, too.
Right?
He did look like Kenny Rogers. Mm-hmm. So now, once a year, they have a conference of legendary figures.
And here's what you were saying with the Easter Bunny.
So all these people show up. So now, Mother Nature... We have Mother Nature, played by Aisha Taylor.
I love Aisha Taylor.
Yeah, she's great. She looks fabulous in this, too.
Aisha, you are the girl I never had. Go ahead.
She looks fabulous in this, by the way, too.
Oh, yeah. She always looks fabulous.
She always does.
Yeah.
Father Time, played by Peter Boyle.
Raymond.
Who is out of time now.
Yeah, very out of time.
Tooth Fairy, played by Art Fleur.
Art Fleur.
Yeah, which is a guy who's been in... everything.
Character actor.
Yeah, he's one of those people you've always seen. Cupid, played by Kevin Pollak.
Mm-hmm. But you know who that is. If you don't, then look him up.
Yeah. The Easter Bunny, played by Jay Thomas.
Jay Thomas, rest in peace,
Not that you can see who he is. Like, he's
completely
covered.
You really
can't.
You can hear him a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Easter Bunny, played by Jay Thomas.
They kind of wasted him, because he can deliver some good lines.
Yeah, right.
Jay Thomas can, but...
And Sandman, played by...
Oh, yeah, Sandman.
Played by Michael Dorn.
From Next Generation.
Yeah, in his least Michael Dorn of all roles. Like, he doesn't... Usually he gets by, you know...
Growling?
By using his very big baritone, you know, voice.
Baritone voice.
But he didn't do that at all. He's like, yeah, you really have to be careful with your kids. And this, like, he's very, like, sing-songy and soft.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Tooth Fairy starts off by petitioning to change his name. He wants to be, like, Captain Floss or the Tooth or Roy was one of them.
He's just trying to get rid of the fairy part.
What?
He doesn't like the fairy part or what?
I don't know.
Whatever.
Homophobe.
Yeah, right?
Anyway, so he wants to change it. And, of course, in years past, they always voted it down. This time around, Santa says, well, what about the Molinator? And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. But they still say no and vote it down. Santa gives his progress report. He basically tells them about Charlie, and they get into this discussion about it's hard raising kids and doing this. And then they tell them about the Mrs. Claus. Mother Nature says, he talks about the Mrs. Claus and about how all this stuff will happen, and she goes, don't mess with me, I'm pre-El Nino. Which I don't know if that was supposed to be like a premenstrual joke. I don't know. Cupid can't help, because he was like, well, hey, Cupid, just shoot an arrow into my butt and we'll go from there. And he goes, I can't do that. The magic won't work on us because we're magical. Father Time points out how difficult it's going to be because he can't be in two places at once. And he's only got 27 days, 20 hours, so on and so forth left. But then Curtis, hearing that, has an idea. Curtis says that's not exactly true. You might be able to be in two places at once. So he says he's going to make a toy copy of Santa.
Right.
So it'll run the North Pole while he's gone. Of course, Santa says no. He's hesitating. He doesn't want to do that. And, you know, he's trying to figure it out. Well, this mouse runs through the machine, and they realize it makes this great copy. So he's like, you know what? Let's try it. And it makes a copy of Santa Claus.
Right.
Toy Santa. So.
And now Toy Santa looks... really like Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
All plasticky.
Yeah.
He really looks like Kenny Rogers.
And it is, like, all his features are very smoothed out and shiny, yeah. Like plastic. The construction of the thing itself, like, Santa has, like, an actual, like, beard made of beard hair.
Yeah.
And the other one, it's, like, sculpted foam or sculpted plastic. And the makeup that they actually used is really cool. It just has a little eye piece around his eye cut out. Or his eyes, and then the part beneath his, like, fake mustache to above the fake beard is open for his mouth. But everything else is, like, a foam overlay. It looks very good. And the hands are, like shinier, like, so they're, like, plastic and everything, and, like they're stiffer when he moves them. And, of course, originally the Santa is kind of nutty. Like, he's not saying anything, or he's just, like, repeating everything he's told. But they're like, okay, look, this is going to have to work. You know, we got to make them think this is real. So, Bernard tells all the elves, look, Santa's gone through some changes. Look, try not to stare and look.
Look, this is a big gamble for them. I mean, you got to know when to hold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run, you know?
Yes.
I'm just saying, he looks like plastic Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is Kenny Rogers.
Which is Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
So Bernard convinces all the elves, don't stare at Santa. Don't judge the way he looks. He just looks a little different.
Right.
He
got some Botox and he doesn't look the same.
Yeah. He's going through a midlife crisis of some kind.
Right.
So Santa takes Comet and gets ready to leave to go back to the U.S. or.
And when we made comet, we made the reindeer, not the cleaning solution.
No, comet. he gets on a bottle of, he gets on a little canister of comet.
Right, comet, okay, yeah, right. Yeah.
And so as he's getting ready to leave, Bernard gives him this watch that actually tracks his magic levels.
Right. And he can't go below whatever. Like every time he uses his magic.
Yeah, it's set at 10 right now, and it'll go to 0. So every time he uses his magic, it dwindles.
So don't use your magic so much.
Right. So if it gets to 0, he can't come back because he won't be able to just use his magic to get there.
Right.
So Santa, who's eventually he makes it to back home. And so he's reverted even further to Scott. He has, like, darker hair and a shorter beard. He's still kind of chunky, but he's not as big as he was. He arrives at Charlie's school, where he meets up with Laura, his ex-wife, who's played by Wendy Crewson.
Yes.
And Neil Miller, which is Wendy's new husband, played by Judge Reinhold.
Judge Reinhold.
Yes.
Yes.
And now...
walking, talking mugshot.
Yeah, if you look up his picture now,
every time I looked up Santa Claus 2, it gave me like the cast pictures. And then you know how like Google has his cast pictures?
Yeah.
And like every time Judge Reinhold was his mugshot from his like drunken disorderly that he had like out of outside of an airport or something.
Yeah.
That happened to like.
Man, not even Kiefer Sutherland gets that treatment.
No. No. So I just kept. Every time I look it up, it would be like, boom, Judge Reinhold. And I'm not trying to judge Judge Reinhold. I'm just saying that...
Judged Reinhold?
Judging Judge Reinhold. Go ahead.
So they all seem to get along pretty well. Like, you know, Neil gives him a hug and Lark gives him a hug. Everybody's really happy as a result of where they left off in the first movie, I think. So now Scott talks to Laura and Neil about Principal Newman. He says, you know, she really spooks him. Like, she's got a bad attitude and whatever. Of course, she's, like, happening to walk up to where they are. And they see a kid skateboarding down the hall. And she stops him. And, of course, he's like, Principal Newman? And, like, hands the skateboard to her. And she goes, look into my eyes and tell me what you see. And he's like, they're cold and they're dark. And so she basically tells him she doesn't want to see him doing this again and, like, you know, get out of here.
You'd be cold and dark, too, if you've been stranded on that island forever.
They're like dark lizard eyes. So... basically, they talk about what happened, where Charlie spray painted that, basically saying Newman was anti-Christmas. So she hadn't put any Christmas decorations up at the school because what's a public school? There's people of varying backgrounds, and like, do they really have the money to spend on
the war on Christmas continues?
But well, seriously, like now I watch this and I'm like, ew, like that was, it was seriously like, oh, she's anti-Christmas. If you can just get her to remember Christmas, then, you know.
Say Merry Christmas a lot to her, not Happy Holidays.
But yeah, she's like, well, these are public schools, and I don't want to use the public school's funds to decorate. Like, that's wasteful.
It's funny she thinks public schools have funds.
Yeah. But she's got to savor what they actually do have, so... she suggests he's doing this, he's acting out because he's trying to get someone's attention. As far as she knows, Scott is just always traveling on business.
Right, right.
He's
a traveler.
So Scott says it's ridiculous. He says Charlie's sorry and that he won't do it again before throwing some money at her and says, like, hey, buy a wreath or something for this place.
Right.
Put the Christ back in Christmas. I'm surprised they didn't yell
something. Technically, Santa has, like, the best deal. Like, he has the best job. He only has to work really long for one day a year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then he gets to play, like, tinsel football with everyone else.
Yeah.
The rest. Check the list
he
twice.
Said he gets 3 months of vacation.
Oh, bullshit. You get, like, you get
11 months of vacation. The elves do everything for you.
Yeah, they do the brunt work.
I'm just saying.
Do everything else. So now, back at the North Pole, they're trying to get Toy Santa up to speed. So, I mean, he's acting really bizarre and doesn't know how things work yet. And basically, Curtis says, hey, here's the rule book. You need to learn this and you know, figure all this out and understand it. So he hands him the rules. So Abby comes in around that time and sees how plastic he looks. She tries really hard to ignore it. And like Bernard says, well, hey, look, he's just, doesn't he look really well rested? And she's like, very well rested, just trying to be nice about it. You okay there?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. Trying to be really nice about it. She says, well, here, I'm going to give you some cocoa. You know, be careful. It's very hot. And, of course, he just chugs it down scalding hot, which freaks Abby out a little bit. But then he says, I love it.
Cocoa.
I love it.
More cocoa.
And he's, like, screaming and freaking out. And he says, I think I'm getting a buzz. That's the cocaine, Tim Allen.
Come on. Every day's a snow day for Tim Allen.
So now, back at the North Pole. I mean,
because he's full of joy in Christmas. What did you think I meant?
Now, back at the Miller's house, they're discussing Scott's predicament.
Right.
So, it took him 3 years to propose to Laura. So this might be tough to find a new wife right off the get-go. So, Charlie suggests there are tons of divorcees at the school who will marry or date just anyone.
Tons of them. No one wanted to be married to these women.
Yes. So Scott says he can handle himself and continues to
public school, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And as he continues to revert back, he's like, all right, well, maybe I need some help.
Right.
So, about that time, Lucy runs downstairs. So Lucy, who is Laura and Neil's daughter, Charlie's half-sister, runs in. She's adorable, by the way.
Oh, she is.
Her name is Liliana Mumy, who is Billy Mumy's daughter. Now, Billy Mumy, for those of you who aren't familiar, he used to play Will Robinson in...
Danger.
Yes, in Lost in Space. He was Will Robinson, and he was in Babylon 5. He was one of the guys, one of the aliens in Babylon 5.
Okay.
She comes in and she runs down to Scott, and clearly, like, she just loves him. You know, he's the sweetest. It's very sweet. She just thinks he's the greatest thing.
So we got a lot of people from sci-fi movies are connected.
Yes, we do.
Through this movie. This is amazing.
Yeah. Now, back at the North Pole again, Toy Santa is still off. He says, there are a lot of rules that you aren't following in here. And I like the rules. We should follow the rules. And Curtis thinks, like, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. This is great. And Bernard, of course, gets a little bit worried by that. Now, back in now, the normal world.
Can I go back? Did Spencer Breslin, did he yell his line on that one? There's two volumes to Spencer Breslin. It's either this or we gotta follow the rules.
And when he does the we gotta follow the rules.
I don't mean to pick on a boy like who's like, what, 10 or whatever years old?
So yeah.
900 years old. But really, he has two volumes.
Yeah. No, Spencer Breslin always like, he always does a shouting thing. And when he shouts, he always does these like hand movements.
Hand motions, yeah.
Where it looks like he's karate chopping something. Yeah, it's very weird.
Yeah.
So
he does that in that episode of Wonderfalls.
Yeah, he does.
Where it's just
So
and if you've not seen Wonderfalls,
please
watch Wonderfalls.
Scott borrows an awful sweater from Neil and heads to his date.
There's too many sweaters in this movie.
Yeah, there are.
I mean, it looks like a Felicity episode.
And he goes, there's this bit where like so he gets a sweater, which is very ugly. And he's like, don't you have anything else? And Neil goes, I think you look wonderful.
No, he's like, I think you look hot.
Oh, that's what it is. I think you look hot in that.
Hold on, Judge.
And he's like, don't you think, Laura? And she's like, you know, it's what's inside that counts.
Everyone is judging Judge.
I know. But they say, you know what? You can use our mini. He's like, can I borrow the car? They're like, well, you can use the minivan. I got it all ready for you. And he goes, oh. And so he's like, great. I have this needlepoint sweater and driving a minivan. And he kind of like just like does this weird like sigh and then just like walks away. Like that's kind of stuff from Tim Allen I do like.
Yeah.
He does very well acting like exasperated by things. So Scott goes to this date where he meets up with Tracy, who is played by Molly Shannon. And it seems great. She's obsessed with Christmas. She's got on a Christmas sweater that has Santa's face on it. And like the beard is puffy.
Right.
And she's got like a Christmas like charm bracelet.
So that's Tim Allen.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
She's got like a charm bracelet with like a Christmas charm bracelet, but she actually wears it year round, so she always has Christmas cheer.
Yeah.
And then she says that she's an aspiring singer-songwriter. And she says that, or are you familiar with Shania Twain?
And who isn't?
Right. It was 2002. It was huge.
Right.
So she's like, well, I Feel Like a Woman. She sang a cover of that with Christmas lyrics.
Man, I feel like some Christmas.
Yeah, and it's not just like, she's not just kind of singing at the table.
She goes all
She's
out.
Getting up and dancing, and like the whole restaurant the whole is Molly just watching
Shannon.
Her.
I mean, she's being Molly Shannon
yeah.
a lot.
But, you know, not like...
In a good way.
Yeah, but not too over the top. No. Just enough to be like awkward.
I appreciated this movie for taking the comedy and not going overboard.
Yeah. They took it to just the right place.
Like a lot of times you get these sequels and they go full blown on the comedy.
Yes.
Well, up it even more.
Yeah, that's probably and Santa Claus 3.
Yeah, and they didn't do that. So
the Escape good. Clause.
Yeah, right.
But so when she gets done, she's like, what'd you think? And he goes, and he obviously looks awkward about it. Like he's kind of weirded out. And then she starts making a scene. She's like, fine, I need somebody who's going to support me and support blah, 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 and like starts freaking out. And so it did not end well for them. So later, Scott goes home and he says goodnight to Charlie. And he talks to him saying, I wouldn't reserve the reception hall just yet.
Yeah.
So Charlie talks about a girl he likes and saying, right. Quote, girl uh-huh. he likes, and says that he just felt it like down in the pit of his stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's talking with him about it, and then all of a sudden he just kind of gets cold to his dad. Like he's just like, nope, I'm not,
mm-hmm.
Saying whatever. And so Scott's having trouble just kind of reading Charlie because Charlie's not telling him something. Now, back at the North Pole.
Man, I feel like some Christmas.
Sorry.
I have that in my head.
Do you?
Yeah.
The whole thing, like, it had lyrics. I was like, wow, this is surprisingly these
lyrics
fit.
I think they were like,
fit.
Molly Shannon, write these lyrics for us.
She probably was.
And she was probably perfect.
It would
Give
make me
five and I'll do it.
It would actually, it probably, that whole thing was probably ad-libbed.
Probably.
They probably said, here's your character. She probably showed up in that outfit with that bracelet. I did it. I would bet you she did because it's dressed like one of her characters. Even.
Yeah.
And the hair was like one of her characters. I'm 50.
Sorry. I didn't mean to get that song in my head. Keep going.
It's all right. So at the North Pole, Toy Santa.
I feel like some Christmas.
God damn it. So Toy Santa demands the naughty and nice list from Bernard and Curtis. And they're like, no, it's all right. Like Santa already checked it twice. Toy Santa says, no, he didn't. They said, well, let me correct that. The real Santa checked it. And Toy Santa then counters with, I am the real Santa.
Right. So,
something's going off the rails here.
Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah. So He starts getting a little crazy with the rules when they distract him with some of the tinsel football. Unfortunately, this time he beats up on the children. So right. Like, he's like clotheslining kids. He's like
abusing Santa, the abused kid abuser.
Yeah, right.
Great.
And for those of you who are, it's actually kind of reminded me around this point, it reminded me of Futurama. They have okay. Santa in the future, where it's SantaBot, basically. He's a robot who
okay.
Judges everybody to be naughty and starts trying to, like, kill, oh. like, you will hide from Santa because he'll try to destroy you.
Are you saying they just took it from Futurama, or did Futurama take it from them?
Pretty sure, well, I'm pretty sure Futurama had that first.
Okay.
If this was in 2002, Futurama had already done that, I believe. It's neither here nor there.
No.
It's not, like, exact, but... So, regardless, Bernard and Curtis start to realize something's not right with Toy Santa. Now,
He's a toy.
At the school, Charlie is running from a guard and runs into Principal Newman. So... She calls Scott in, who has, again, gotten much thinner. And she's like, are you sick?
He's on the Atkins.
What's wrong with you?
He's on
yeah.
Atkins.
Basically, he gets called there because apparently Charlie painted a portrait of Principal Newman on the lockers that says, hang a wreath, go to jail.
Ooh.
Now, I got to say, Charlie, with like his graffiti art is very clean and
beautiful.
Very, like, meticulous. Yeah.
Put him in an art class.
Like, yeah, inspire him, man. Keep it up there. It's, like, probably going to be, like, a Banksy or something, whatever. I mean, it's very pristine. So she is suggesting to expel Charlie. And Scott counters by saying, well, hey, what about community service? And she's like, okay, that's fine. You know, he has to get this off the lockers, and he has to clean up all the marks off the lockers around the school. And then says he has to help on the weekend, too, and that Scott has to be there as well. So he's like, eh, all right. So he decides to go. So now we go back to the North Pole. Santa's moved into the Naughty and Nice Center, and he's saying, well, why is this kid on this list? He wiped his nose on his sister's sleeve. That's naughty, but he's on the nice list. And they're like, well, come on, man. Like, they're little kids. Cut him some slack. You know?
No, he's on the naughty list, Jamie.
Yeah, and he starts going nuts. And he's like, you know, they didn't put this away when their mom and dad told them to. They didn't do this and this. That's naughty. He's like, everybody is naughty. And starts freaking out about how everybody is naughty.
I'm going to tell you, he's right. Everyone is naughty.
Everybody's
a little bit
naughty
inside. Yeah.
So yeah, he basically just starts losing it. They convince him to cut him some slack, and he just refuses. Back at the community service center.
Yeah, what is up his butt? What is up Vicky Santa Claus's butt?
I assume a bunch of D-cell batteries.
I am Vicky from Small Wonder, and I am your Santa Claus. You are a bad kid. Naughty.
So back at the community service center, Scott and Carol hit it off. Because you see somebody who's like, hey, make sure these kids don't scratch my car. It's brand new. Or these delinquents don't scratch my car.
Hey, calm your shit down.
Yeah, and she's like, well, back
shorts
off.
Boy.
She's like, these are good kids. And they start, like, making fun of the guy as he walks in.
Yeah.
But then they're both, it sounds like they've misunderstood each other. She's trying to keep them in line because she cares. You know, and he's not a bad guy either. But he needs to, you know, respect that she's a teacher or the principal. So they're, you know, Scott and her are starting to see more eye to eye. Now Toy Santa has gone off the rails, and he's decided he needs a little help to enforce the rules. So he makes this toy soldier, which he replicates into an army.
Which only my sister will get that joke.
Okay, good.
So there you go.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
He replicates it into an army and then enlarges them so that these, like, big toy soldier robots.
There's like four, there's three choices you can make for that machine. It's reduce, enlarge,
and duplicate. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So Scott goes to ask Carol out on a date. He like shows up to her house and she does not seem weirded out by that for whatever reason. But he's trying to ask her out on a date. First he asks her if she wants to go for noodles or
company.
Pie.
Oh, pie. Yeah, you're yeah. right. Hey, would you like to go to noodles or company or pie and more? I don't know.
Pie and friends. Pie and guests. So he's trying to ask her out and she says that's fine. You know, she has this faculty dinner thing, and he says, well, I can drop you off there. She says, well, I need to get home somehow. And he goes, oh, I can come back and pick you up. She's like, why would you drop me off and come pick me up? Why don't you just stay? So he's like, oh, okay. So he goes to the company party. Now, he says, well, we can get there. It's going to be real great. You're going to like this. And he opens the door, and he has a horse-drawn sleigh out there. Which apparently, when he looks at his watch, it uses half of his magic up. It seriously goes from 10 to like 5. Well,
he did something when he...
Oh, that's
the girl,
right.
He got the girl's name correct. And he used one, like, I'm just going to say interval, one thing.
Yeah, 10% of his magic.
10% of whatever. And then he uses, like, he gets a sleigh, and it's like he used 6% or 60% of it.
Yeah. It was, like, he used at least 40% of his magic on that.
On that alone?
Yeah.
Rent that thing.
I know. That was not worth it. Just bring the Subaru around. It's okay. So while they're going, she's talking about how much Christmas used to mean to her. So she used to apparently believe in Santa. It was one time a year. Her parents didn't fight, Christmas was. And so it was a special time to her, and Santa was special to her, and they used to keep the, you know, kind of her belief in it alive. But as kids started to doubt it a little bit more, she clung to that belief, and so she even got into fights about it. So one day she came home from school, having been in a fight, and her parents told her the truth. And that was just kind of it. That's when it lost its magic to her.
Yeah.
So as she's like, oh, look, you know, we have cocoa, we have blankets, we almost have everything except for, and then it starts snowing. And there's a little cloud over them just snowing as they go.
And I figured that would use up all the rest of his magic.
It's like weather manipulation, that ought to do it.
You know, every time he lost, like, some of his magic, it kind of reminded me of the Never Ending Story 2, when he would make a wish, and, like, the wishes, he would run out of wishes.
Yeah.
And they would go down that little tube thing.
Yeah.
And then that bird that looked like Orrin Hatch would be there. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yes. I know what
you're talking about. You used more wishes. Fantasia will disappear.
I know exactly
I digress.
What you're
talking about. We'll do that one later. We'll do that.
And we'll go.
Sometime.
Remember back in the Santa Claus 2 when. So they get to the
we'll
faculty
just play
dinner.
That clip of me doing that.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So they get to the party, and everyone is just like depressed and lethargic. Nobody's dancing or talking. They're just kind of
so
all
sitting
there.
So it's like a faculty
there.
Party.
Right.
Yeah.
So Scott uses more of his magic to create gifts for
Dude,
people.
Dude, you are going to die.
He says, he goes,
there goes another
They're like,
wish.
What about Secret Santa? They're like, we didn't do that. And he goes, oh, really? He's like, because there are all these gifts for you.
All these gifts back here.
And it was kind of a neat scene. So it
I
was
do,
stuff they wanted from when they were kids.
I agree. Like, one guy gets tossed across.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is where you throw crosses at
Not where you throw crosses. It's where you throw beanbags, and it's a tic-tac-toe type of game.
Yeah.
Another guy gets rock'em sock'em robots.
Yeah.
Another person gets spinning tops that hit each other. I don't know.
Yeah. And so there's all these other classic toys.
An easy bake-off and all these classic toys.
Yes.
That you can get on eBay now for $500.
Right. And so everybody's having a great time. Scott gives Carol a baby doll. Just called baby doll, apparently. But it was the one that she had wanted, like, when her...
Yeah.
Was hoping for when her parents, you know, spilled the beans about Santa. Right.
At first, I thought you were going to say a copy of Baby Driver I'm like, that movie didn't come out yet.
That's why she wanted it. She's got a bootleg. So she wants to know how he did it. Like, how could you know this about everybody? Like, how did this work up? You know, work exactly. Did you stalk all of us? Did you research us? What happened?
Yeah, wouldn't you be freaked out a little bit more?
Yeah. So she goes, what are you, like, you got some sort of magic with whatever? And he basically admits that, yeah, he's got magic. And he used most of it up. And actually, when they look at his watch, it's down to 2. So he's used up 80% of his magic.
Way to go. Way to go, Scott.
Yeah, right? Like, he just used another 30,
40%. Way to shoot your load quickly.
30 or 40% to make these people feel better. To impress Carol.
Jesus.
So Carol kisses him. When she kisses him, mistletoe forms over them.
Oh, there goes the other 2%.
And, right? And it's like glowing and whatever else. And she's like, where'd that come from?
That came from the last 2% of my powers. You know,
and I'm done. So back at the North Pole, Toy Santa is dressed like Mussolini at this point. Like, he's got the whole...
He's a dictator.
Yeah, he's got, like, a dictator-style hat and, like, the Generalissimo kind of outfit. And he says, you know, let's stop toy productions. Kids don't deserve toys. They're all going to get coal. Although it's, like, high silicon content, low sulfur coal. So it's a very nice kind of coal.
Oh, okay.
But he's going to give everybody coal. And to make enforce to make sure that they're doing... what he says, he calls in his soldiers to run things. So Bernard starts telling everybody the truth, that's not Santa, but Toy Santa sends the troops in to silence him.
Check it out, he's got a plastic butt. That's how you can tell.
He says he's made of rubber and his butt is made of plastic, which it is because we saw it when he came out of the machine.
Right. You know.
So
also his character in Toy Story. Is too.
That's so true.
He has
that's
that in true. Common.
Yeah. So now Charlie and the kids, Charlie
in his chocolate
and some
factory,
Charlie and some other kids are throwing snowballs at the principal's house. So their plan is to get her to come outside, and then they're going to pelt her with snowballs.
Yeah, random kid who I've never seen before and won't after this scene.
And Charlie and the girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so when the door opens, you hear Scott, and he's like, hey, get out of here. You've done this to the wrong house, and blah, blah, blah. And Charlie just looks...
What is your dad dating the principal?
Yeah, Charlie just looks disgusted. And they're like, what's the matter? Is your dad dating the principal? Is he banging the principal?
Banging her?
Banging her? But they're all just kind of...
Detention, if you know what I mean.
Show me slide rule. Anyway, so...
Well, yeah, he's getting suspended.
Show him her pink slip.
Okay, anyway. Okay.
So.
Okay.
Anyway. So, and Charlie's like, ew, gross, I get it. So, because they're all just weirded out. So now, back inside, Scott confesses to Carol. You know, he's like, look, the reason all this is happening... You know, I'm Santa Claus. This is magic. I only have so much left.
What? You're Santa Claus? Whatever.
But she's seeing all these crazy things happen, right?
It doesn't
but
matter.
But she thinks that he's manipulating her.
Right.
Because of the story that he's told her. Now, he would have to be magic to come up with all this shit, because how else is he going to get all this
reality
stuff?
Reality would say magic isn't real. So, I don't blame her.
Right, but, I mean, it would be impossible for him to arrange everything
but
else.
If she thought about really what he was, if he didn't have magic, then you would want him to leave, too. Because either way, it's a no-win situation for Scott.
Yeah, right. So she thinks he's making fun of her, and she tells him to leave. Back at home, Charlie is just... pissed at him at this point. He's mad that you know, he would even go near the principal. He's mad that
he would
do this to him, basically.
Hey, everyone gets to say that their father is this. Their father's a policeman, their father's a fireman, but I can't tell them that my dad's the best dad ever, Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's
acting out.
Yeah, that's what it came down to, was like the whole You seem very upset by
that. I am very upset by that. I think that's kind of weak.
Yeah. Well, it is. Yeah. I mean, I kind of get it. Like, he has this big secret he can't tell anybody. And I really question, like, how often does he get to see or talk to his dad thing?
Right. I get more of.
So he's like, the kid is like, I have this big secret that I can't tell anybody. Also, my dad is Santa Claus. But that's what it comes down to. That's why he's been acting up. Now we come back to Santa basically running a coal sweatshop.
Yes.
He's walking around monitoring people, like smashing coal into smaller bits and like giving them bad jokes and then like yelling at them to get back to work. And like,
so basically it is a Tim Allen comedy routine circa 1988, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So now Lucy tells, first he asks Charlie, you know, is Uncle Scott Santa? And he goes, no, he's not. And she's like, are you mad at Uncle Scott? And he says, yeah, he is. But don't worry about it. And she says, look, you can't be mad at Uncle Scott forever. He's your dad. And basically kind of says it's crap that he's mad and to let it go. Very wise for a small child.
For a small child, very wise. Let it go, let it go.
So later that day, Lucy is playing Go Fish with Uncle Scott in the kitchen. And you see this person kind of fly by outside. It's Curtis, who has arrived by jetpack, which he crash landed in. But he's there to warn that Toy Santa has taken over in the North Pole. Unfortunately, all of the magic is out. Scott used it all up to get laid, and it failed.
to bring in, like, Connect Four and, like, Rock'em Sock'em Robots, yeah, and to get laid.
He's like, gosh, I really wish I had some Froyo. Magic out.
Oh, darn.
Well, he had to get home, and it probably was on that sleigh again.
If you know what I mean.
He made himself better by wishing for ho, ho, ho. That'll cheer him up.
More like a ding dong.
So they're like, oh, crap, let's get out of here. So Comet over 8. And he just cannot fly at this point.
There's candy bars everywhere. By the way, did you get, like, Comet kind of sounds like an Ewok?
Yeah.
He totally sounds like an Ewok.
That guy does a lot of work. He kept reminding me of Gremlins.
Gremlins, yeah. Well, you know, they reminded me of Ewoks, but... which also remind me of Gremlins.
Yeah, like, he has just eaten stuff, and he got warned earlier with, like, they're not good with sweets, so don't give him any.
Right. But
apparently Lucy has just continued to give
him. Yeah. Where'd she get all that candy?
I don't know. From Halloween? It wasn't that long before.
No, man, she should have eaten that all by
now. I know. And they had the Crunch Bar that she gave him was, like, square.
Okay.
I think it's, like, Canadian, because they were in
Vancouver. They filmed it in Calgary. And
Vancouver.
Yeah, Vancouver, whatever. Yeah.
And so I think that it was probably the Canadian version.
There was a Coffee Crisp wrapper over there.
Here's some Smarties.
A Mr. Big Bar.
Some Smarties, not those chalky things, the delicious ones. So Comet over 8 and can't fly. And, of course, he's trying to lift him up. He can't get up. And they're like, can you do anything? And, of course, he just farts because we got to have that in there.
So he can do something, yeah.
Yeah. Which maybe that could jet propel him, but we didn't even go there. So so Curtis's jetpack, they're not going to get back with that either because it's broken. It got destroyed on impact. So they come up with a plan. They're going to try to summon the Tooth Fairy to take them. So they try, like, tying Tim Allen's tooth to the doorknob, and it doesn't work. They try... Judge Reinhold ties it to a toaster and tries throwing it, and it didn't work. But basically, after several attempts to rip out Scott's teeth, Lucy conveniently loses her own tooth. Like, it's very convenient.
Very convenient.
Yeah. So when the Tooth Fairy shows up,
very 7-Eleven-y.
Scott just walks up, grabs his wings so that he can't get away, and takes him back to the outside of the room, basically convinces him, hey, it's me, it's Santa, I just don't look like me.
Yeah.
And that, hey, you know, should take us back to the North Pole.
Hey, Owen, how do I know you're Santa?
Yeah, and so he tells him about the Molinator thing and all that.
Oh, yeah.
So Charlie goes to see Carol and tries to convince her of the truth.
Hey, my dad really is Santa.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, come on.
Oh, come on, Charlie.
Well, I think she thinks he's, like, enlisted his son in this, like,
this elaborate
bizarre game of...
Tell her I'm sorry by trying to really convince her I'm Santa Claus.
Yeah, it's way less creepy when it's a father-son team.
Right.
Like, grift.
Yes.
So...
Do that. That always works.
But he shows her the magic snow globe that shows him wherever his dad is at any time in the world.
Uh-huh.
And so he shows that to her, and it kind of glows and does whatever, and then shows them Christmas Town, or whatever they call it.
The North Pole, Christmas Town.
Christmas Village, whatever. And from that, she's just mystified. Like, she believes.
I believe, because this snow globe just...
Now, Curtis, showed me. Curtis and Scott then try to get into the workshop. So the Tooth Fairy brings him in and takes off. He says that he has to get going because Denver just opened up a Pee Wee Hockey League. And so he's got a lot of work he's going to have to do probably that night. So Curtis and Scott are like, okay, we just have to sneak into the workshop, and are just immediately captured by soldiers. Like, they open the doors, and the soldiers are already walking in. So they, like...
The Babes in Toyland soldiers.
Yes. Yeah. So they immediately get captured. Toy Santa gloats before attempting to head out to deliver the coal. So he has them tied up. And he's like, what are you supposed to be? And he's like, I'm a better version of the Santa that you were. So, you know, I'm the only real Santa who's left here. And so he takes off. After he leaves, like, they're kind of talking, and, you know, Santa apologizes and Curtis apologizes. Around that time, Charlie rappels in on a rope, just like he did in the school. And they're like, well, how'd you get here?
Ba, 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 ba.
And he gets there because he's missing a front tooth. He ripped it out so that the Tooth Fairy could bring them. They brought Carol and Charlie back. So they're going to help as well. And of course, the Tooth Fairy flies away again. So now Toy Santa manages to get in the... Everybody, like, kind of gets together, and they're chasing after Toy Santa. He manages to get in his sleigh and take off. So Scott is going to have to follow after him, but the only reindeer left to follow him with is Chet, who immediately is goofy as hell. Yeah. And I don't know if you heard... So Chet is, like, sliding back and forth and running down this corridor, can't stop fast enough, and just runs into Santa and knocks him down, or runs into Scott and knocks him down. And it says, Chet did no-no. Like, you hear the reindeer say that.
Yeah. Nice.
Just saying it's in that, like...
Chet did do a no-no.
Yeah, right.
In his pants.
Oh.
Because he's a rugrat.
So basically, Scott hops onto Chet and they go flying after, Santa, Toy Santa. They continue to fight, Scott continue to fight. Santa. So they're chasing, they're chasing after each other.
I guess he's not Santa. I mean, he's not Santa unless he's fat and has a beard.
Right.
So he's just Scott.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Scott jumps onto the lead reindeer and is trying to direct him around and stops him from escaping, like, their kind of magical space. So he brings him back in. He goes down the reindeer, like, trying to follow along with them. And manages to get into the sleigh where they continue to fight. The townsfolk, in the meantime, are fighting all of the soldiers.
Yeah.
They start out with trying to pelt them with snowballs.
But that doesn't work.
Of course it doesn't work. They're snowballs.
Okay.
Like, unless they have rocks in them and you're reenacting the Boston Tea Party, you're not doing anything.
So. Unless you're trying to, like, scare your high school principal, it's not working.
He hits all of them, and then, like, his mom comes out making out with the Easter Bunny.
Mom, are you dating the Easter Bunny?
Yes.
Your mom's dating the Easter Bunny.
Gross.
Who's going to lay the eggs?
Yes.
Okay.
All of them?
Yes.
They're fighting, and, like, they start taking him down with, like, interesting things. Like, you know, taking out their legs with, like, ribbon between these two, like, little car
sure.
things.
Sure, it reminds me of the Ewoks.
Yeah, it's basically what it is.
In episode 6, right?
Yeah. Abby is cornered at one point, and Charlie zips down, grabs her,
right.
zips out of there, and then everybody else just sprays it in the face with silly string until it falls
silly
over.
String, then
that
falls
yeah, it
down.
Is. It's very, like, Ewok-y.
Yeah.
So, in the meantime, Scott manages to take down Santa, Toy Santa, and he says, hey, I think I have an idea for them or that we can do here. And so he takes and shrinks him down. Now, he loads up the presents, and he's going to take him out, but they're like, yeah, you can't, man. You're not Santa. Like, your magic is gone. Oh, yeah, right. The Mrs. Claus, like, the whole point of this movie. It just all of a sudden reared its head again. So Scott professes his love for Carol and proposes to her. And with the help of some of the elves kind of like encouraging him with things to say. But Carol ends up accepting. And they are actually married right before midnight by Mother Nature herself. Aisha Taylor looking fabulous.
Looking fabulous as always.
Yeah.
Aisha.
Scott and Carol's, like, Christmas, like, wedding garb is actually beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful. Like, her like, little hooded thing. She was wearing this, like, white hooded thing with, like, roses where, like, the buttons are.
Okay, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And he's got, like, almost like a dress version of the Santa suit on. I mean, it's very elaborate costumes.
Sure.
They're great. So they get married. And instantly, as soon as he's married, he gains a bunch of weight and his hair goes white.
So that's right. That's right, Carol. You married a fat old man.
Back to my true form.
Back to my true form. What did I get myself into?
But that's how it happened. You married and his was just on a faster timetable than most other people's.
True. Thanks.
What? I wasn't saying you. So, I think I'm in a doghouse. So, now he gets on the sleigh and he leaves, telling Carol to get ready for their honeymoon because when he comes back, you know, he gets like 3 months vacation. He says, just don't go anywhere tropical. I don't like to be in a Speedo. So, he heads back and goes to the Miller's residence, where Charlie wakes Lucy up, and he takes her downstairs to see Santa come down the chimney. So she confirms Uncle Scott is actually Santa. And she's like, well, you know, this is great. And did you know this? And Charlie says, yeah, but you can't tell anybody.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, and she kind of seems upset by that. He's like, but you have this great privilege of knowing the truth, even when other people stop believing. You know the truth about this. And so that's something.
That's a gift.
Yeah. But it kind of like you missed the mark a little bit. Like part of it should have been like, no, you can tell somebody. You can tell me. Yeah. You and I both know now. Like,
that's true.
You know, our parents know. Like,
or you can tell someone. They'll think you're crazy.
There's more than, you know, a few people who know it.
Yeah,
now.
Right?
So like, it's
your mom
better.
And dad know it?
Yeah. So.
Carol knows it. But she won't be around.
Yeah, right. The high school principal goes missing.
right?
Nobody asked questions.
No one asked questions about that. The high school principal went missing.
Charlie was the last. Who's our biggest suspect?
Charlie.
That should be Santa Claus 3. The escape clause is where he has to escape from federal prison.
Prison break. Right. No one cares that she went missing. Nah. No one cared. No one cared that your principal went missing.
Hilarious.
Vice Principal Skinner here. I guess I'll become principal.
So, Scott leaves on the sleigh. He hops on the sleigh, which Chet is part of. And it's like, you see, when everybody else is hovering, Chet is like dangling because Chet cannot fly right.
Straighten up and fly right.
So, and they have... they have Comet strapped to the back of the sleigh.
Yeah.
So they can tow him home.
Yeah.
Comet, the type 2 diabetes reindeer.
Oh, Comet. Oh.
So, and that's it. When he takes off, he flies away.
Yep. The end.
Well, we have a couple little tag pieces, though, too.
Oh, we do, but it's the end of the movie.
Mrs. Claus dancing.
Dancing.
And actually, it's
a man.
Interesting.
Like Christmas. No, yeah. She doesn't.
Because Carol actually has, like, you can see where she has turned older.
Yeah.
And has gotten chubbier now, too.
Yeah, congratulations, like, Carol. Like, you got that, too.
She looks like Mrs. Claus.
You had looks going for you, but now you're Mrs. Claus.
He's going to get home and be like, oh.
Ugh.
Double standard. Get out of here.
Why can't you be Carol?
So she's dancing and having fun. It's actually a cute scene with her dancing around. But then there's like, you finally see Toy Santa with all these other dancing Santas.
Oh, yeah.
Just being crazy. It's just Tim Allen screaming, basically, for a while.
Yeah, fine. Whatever.
And that's it. That's the end.
So you've been deuced.
Deuced.
Deuced. So let's hear what other people have to say about this movie. This is Deuce, spelled D-U-C-E, 1-2-2. Not as good as the original, but still entertaining. 6 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
8 years after Scott Calvin became Santa Claus, his son Charlie has appeared on the infamous naughty list, prompting Scott to go back home to take care of the situation. He leaves a toy clone himself in charge in the North Pole, which leads to mayhem when the clone becomes a dictator. Also, Scott has to get married or Christmas will be lost forever and he'll cease to be Santa Claus. Got this so far? Too many plots for a kid's film. And not as good as original, but still entertaining. Reinhold and Krusen are wasted with very little screen time.
True.
I think Deuce 190 or 122 is just Judge Reinhold.
That makes sense.
Maybe Judge Reinhold should have been in the movie longer.
And when he's not on screen, people should be asking, where's Judge Reinhold?
Where's Judge? That's right. this one gave it out of 10 out of 10, and their name is Jeff. So Jeff, which is a normal name, thank God, said, very enjoyable sequel. Jeff says, this was a very fun movie, easily as fun as the first. It had a great mix of humor, romance, and feel good. The first movie gave me the feeling of joy at the thought of grown-ups finding the wonder of Christmas again. The second gave me the same feeling. The staff Christmas party, he says. I'm kind of partial to these kind of movies because I like to take the spirit of Christmas and share it throughout the year. I like the attitude of Bernard more in the first one. He seems more on top of things. A little cocky, very in control. Other than that, I can't think of a thing I didn't like about this movie. And no bad language. Great for the kids. 10 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
The I don't know about that. Yeah. That's maybe a little extreme. I think
Jeff's last name is Sessions.
Also,
well,
Reinhold.
I do enjoy this movie. No bad language. Great for all the family.
That is great, Joseph.
Anyway, go ahead.
So, yeah. I think... Was that the lowest review?
No, I just couldn't really find
anything good.
something, because when I pull out these reviews, I don't want like long reviews.
Yeah.
So a lot of times you'll get really long reviews
where they just rant incessantly.
Yeah, where they just rant. And, you know, so that was kind of the shortest one I could find of that.
I think the 6 out of 10, I'm kind of along the lines of those. Like,
yeah,
it had great part. I mean, it's a sequel.
I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of the stuff in the village and in the North Pole I could do without. Mm-hmm. I really could. I felt like that was more, I don't know. I could do a little less with that. It dragged on a little too much for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have almost liked to see the beginning of the dictatorship thing.
Yeah.
And then not cut back to when, until like Curtis flies in and is like,
right,
oh my God, something went wrong, and come back to see like the shock of like how yes. horrible it got.
But you might as well.
Yeah.
Other than that, you're kind of, it's just a excuse for Tim Allen to play two different parts.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, let's dive into our 5 questions here.
Sure.
So what do you think the best part of the movie was?
Well, a couple things. I mean, obviously, Tim Allen's not terrible in this movie. He's mm-hmm. pretty good. Like I said, the comedy in this movie, a lot of times when we watch these sequels, they like up the comedy, or they have to make it fart comedy, or they have to make it very juvenile. I think that they made it just fine to the point of what it was. But I think the most thing that I really like the most about this movie is the Christmas office party scene.
Yeah.
I really liked that. That brought a spirit of Christmas that you don't normally see in this, and that's the spirit of, like, kind of these people that are like, oh, I've just been so bogged down with everything, and I'm so hopeless.
Yeah.
You know, in my job and, like, everything. No one gives me thanks.
Yeah.
And here, you know, Scott's character gets to give them all Christmas gifts.
Yeah,
well, and, about their childhood.
Yeah, I mean, that's so and awesome. It's true. Like you see in other things, like I think even in the first one, they got the presents and it was like, wow, this thing I've always wanted. But it was neat in this one because they were actually playing with them. Like everybody busted out the stuff and they were all playing the games with the toys. I thought that was neat. Like them just goofing around.
Yeah.
So I thought there's a few things. I thought, you know, it's a cute movie. That doesn't necessarily have the extreme cheese like some,
I agree.
Like holiday movies do.
Yeah, it's not the Hallmark. It has Hallmarky moments, but not Hallmark.
Yeah,
all over itself. What,
and not to diminish, like some people really like the Hallmark.
Hey,
ones,
sometimes I'm but, like, hey, I want to feel good and watch those movies.
Yeah, but you know, those
Christmas
usually
is my favorite.
Those usually aren't my thing, you know. So, but. I think it's a cute movie with a holiday spirit without being overly cheesy.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I also like that it deals with like a non-traditional family.
Yeah,
and
that's true too.
And divorce in this really constructive way. Like it wasn't the mom and dad are at each other's throats. I think you saw that in the first movie more, but now you see this kind of like, obviously he's got connection to them still. Lucy, even though she's not related to him, it's like Uncle Scott, you know, and they're. The family works together very well.
Yeah, a little sad that the only minority in this movie is Aisha Taylor, though, mm-hmm. for the most part.
Yeah, even the kids, there's not
even
a whole lot
Even the kids,
of...
it's very white. And I mean, like, white Christmas. I don't need that.
Right.
I think there's one or two that aren't, but for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, but kudos for making her...
Yes.
An African, a beautiful African
Mother Nature.
Mother, Mother Time or Mother Nature.
Mother Nature.
Or whatever, yeah.
And outside of that, too, I thought the Toy Santa makeup was really good.
Yeah, it was pretty
like,
good, too.
Yeah, Tim Allen sometimes was like, Jesus, reel it in, dude.
Yeah.
But the makeup looked good. He looked like a toy.
I think this movie was too long.
Yes, it was too long.
At an hour and 40-some minutes.
Yes, hour and 44 minutes.
You could have at least cut 20 minutes of that off.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But that's just me.
Yep, no, I agree. But no, I thought that makeup was good. I thought, mm-hmm. you know, it's not a bad movie by any means.
No, not a bad sequel.
No. Reboot, continue, or cancel?
I say reboot.
Reboot?
Reboot in a way that's kind of like... passing the torch. So it's like Santa Claus 4, the retirement clause. And then retire. So he retires. He doesn't die, like, whatever. But he retires, and then he gives it to, like, someone else. And, like, kind of puts him under his wing and kind of teaches him the way. Right?
Yeah.
And like a kind of an up and coming more comic.
What if Charlie is the bad guy in the movie because he felt he deserved to be the person who overcomes it?
I don't know. I mean, you could do that. That's fine. But, you know, like a kind of an up and coming, you know, comic or whatnot could play him, you know, and do it that way. And then you have more, you know, of these movies.
Yes.
What do you say?
So I had a couple different things. Like, I just, part of me is like, hey, the current string of them, part of me just says cancel, like, after that third one. But I had some other thoughts, like they should have connected the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah.
And made that, like, this world of all these people, you know? Like, you could have a Mother Nature movie, and you could have, like, a, you know, something else. I mean, you could
do a
whole bunch of these movies.
Sidequels, I think. Sidequels would be
cool. Yeah.
Or spinoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. But I thought, I almost want a prequel. I want to know about who the last Santa was.
Okay.
But, you know, like, it'd be interesting how that person came to be Santa and how...
That Santa was Ed Asner, and he died. He's from the movie Elf.
Oh, there you go.
No, I don't know.
But no, I
who
mean,
played
that's
him in
what...
the first movie? I can't remember who played him in the first movie.
Santa?
Yeah.
You don't really see him.
We don't really see him, do we?
No, because he's just on the roof.
Oh, yeah, we don't really
down.
See him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, maybe. Well.
But no, I thought that'd be cool to figure out who that was. Like, did he... Was he only in it for 20 years? Was he, like, in the 70s? Or, like, he was 70s
Santa?
Maybe,
like, Doctor Who? Like,
kind
of. Santas?
Yeah.
Like, different Santas? Yeah, I agree, you know.
So, no, I thought that would be interesting. But, yeah, like, just along this traditional line of, like... The Scott Calvin Santa.
Shouldn't really
it.
The third one be the pregnant pause?
The pregnant pause?
Yeah, like she gets pregnant, you know?
No. You mean instead of the claws?
Claws. Yeah, you're right. Sorry. Look, one joke wasn't going to land. It just happened to be at the end of this one. Sometimes it's at the beginning. Sometimes it's in the middle. I can't choose where it's going to be, Jeremy.
What if it was Santa Claus, C-L-A-W-S, and it's basically just another... Snow Buddies movie.
Yeah.
Disney loves that.
Snow Buddies, yeah.
So, all right. Does this movie stand on its own?
No.
I say definitely not.
Yeah.
Because it is.
A lot
it's like,
of that I don't know.
There's a
if
lot
I didn't
of like.
Watch the first one.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of like magic stuff they don't talk
they
about.
They don't talk about.
Yeah. So, hell no. It doesn't.
No, I don't think it does. Like having said that, it's a good movie.
Yeah, it's still a fine movie. You're just expected to know stuff from the first. So watch both of them. There you go. Yeah. Have a Santa Claus day.
There you go. And you can watch the third one if you want. But
yeah. Which some people liked because of...
Martin Short.
Martin Short.
Right. I think it's more cartoonish.
Mm-hmm.
Roadrunner and, you know...
Yeah, it was gearing more towards children.
Yeah.
Because I think their adult audience got it by that point. They were kind of like, eh... does it make you want to see the first movie?
Yeah. Yeah. I want to go back. It's been forever.
Yeah.
Since I've watched that. This is enough Christmas spirit. It's not cheesy enough that I could go back and probably watch the first one.
Yeah.
Makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd deal with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was roughly the same. Like, I don't know if I would necessarily go out of my way to hunt it down, but like.
No, but if it was on, I wouldn't shut it off.
Yeah, definitely. That's actually what I put. No, but I wouldn't turn it off.
Yeah.
And two words.
Fine clause.
Fine clause?
Yeah. Like, read the fine clause, Tim Allen. You probably have to do another one of these movies. But you didn't know. No. I mean,
you didn't
it's
look
a
on
fine
this...
it's a fine movie. It's a fine clause movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's terrible. I think it's... And I don't think it's mediocre. By any means. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's in the middle of the road. It's a fine movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I gotcha. No, I put Christmas mythology.
Okay.
Because I really think they took a Christmas movie, involves Santa and everything. They built some sort of a mythology around it a little bit.
Yeah.
How he's with like the League of Imaginary whatever and like all
I
these
kind
other.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah. And he's got, you know, I mean, like the next movie has
Jack Frost.
You learn about how you become Santa, all these other magical rules around it. No, I kind of like that more than just, like, honestly, more than just, like, Buddy the Elf, here you go, kind of a thing.
Okay.
Like, there's more of a mythology to this for me, and I do like mythology, so...
Yeah.
I think they do a fine job of, like, building up rules around this world.
Yeah, they do, and I like the fact that Santa is also a human being.
Yeah.
Like, he's someone that came from a family.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And it makes me
wonder... to make those choices.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if all the others did, too.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except the rabbit, we know that he doesn't.
Well, he has a family, too, Jeremy. Rabbits have family.
No, but he says, I have thousands of kids, like, in private school.
Oh, that's right. That's his one joke that Jay Thomas has. Yeah.
Yeah, which makes me wonder, what if, like, how Scott became a magical person, like, he was a person who became magical. Maybe the Easter Bunny was a rabbit that became, a magical
thing.
He met in the middle. He just came from the other side of it.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. I like that.
So, no, I think that's very interesting. Actually, watching this really made me want to watch. There was a movie that came out a couple of years ago called The Guardians, I think it was called.
What?
Yeah, it's like...
I don't know this.
It's an animated movie. Computer animated movie.
That's why.
That has, like, I think it's supposed to be all sorts of different holiday representations.
Okay.
Or different spirits of stuff. Yeah. That I thought looked like garbage when I saw it advertised. But, like, over time... it's popped up here and there, and I'm like, interesting. Like, it seems like it comes up, and people are like, it's kind of underrated. So part of me wants to go back and watch it.
And everyone wants to see Kevin Pollak do, like, a Cupid movie, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Kevin, it's really just him
topical.
It's him doing an hour and a half of shtick in a diaper.
Yeah, it's basically him doing his impressions.
Yeah.
In a diaper. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. What we've always wanted.
Yeah.
Which is really, anybody who's watching him now is just watching him do impressions of a diaper. Yeah.
His Columbo impression in a diaper.
Oh, that's so great.
And another thing.
Yeah.
One more thing. Okay. So I think you've been deuced on this one.
Yes.
So we got a couple more movies coming up in the month of December, y'all.
In case you haven't guessed, they are all going to be Christmassy.
Christmassy movies.
So enjoy.
I think up next we're going to do Batman.
Yes. Batman.
Yes.
Batman Returns.
And then after that, I think some Die Hard.
Die Hard 2.
Mine, get some action going. And then after that, the quintessential, I do believe, the holiday sequel.
Home Alone 2. Lost in New York.
Starring POTUS.
Starring the Krampus.
Starring the Krampus himself, Donald Trump.
Correct. That is absolutely accurate.
Absolutely accurate.
Boo, I'm some sort of Christmas ghoul.
Yeah, you need to go down this road and go over here. So. So where can people find us, Jeremy?
Well, people can find us at Stop singing while I'm telling them where to find us. thedeucepodcast.podbean.com.
I really like Christmas.
Stitcher, iTunes. Google Play Music. And Facebook.
And Facebook
you can find. We'll post it there. We try to post things in there and talk to everybody. Feel free to talk and share about your sequels, things that you like.
What's your favorite holiday movie? What's your favorite holiday sequel?
Yeah, or sequels you would love to see, any of that kind of stuff.
Sequels that you want us to review?
Yep.
If one of those just happens to be The NeverEnding Story 2, let me know.
Everything I say has this inflection on the end?
I don't know what.
Somebody please help me.
The sequel is king.